based on a true scary, contains adult themes, language, and all-around scary shit. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, folks. Welcome to Based on a True Scary. This is Trisha, still coming to you from quarantine. I am virtually here with my fabulous, I always say fabulous, and I mean it this time, my fabulous co-host,
Thank
Jake.
You.
I do. How are you, Jake?
I'm good. I'm living life. I stepped outside the house today. It was thrilling.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's like 100 degrees in Los Angeles, which was a bad day.
Well, I stepped outside into the car with AC, so.
Okay, There you go. Nailed it. Well, we have a fantastic guest today. Joining us from Los Angeles, this is a first for a while. We've been doing talent out of the state. Our guest today, he's the lead singer for the band Set It Off and a popular Twitch streamer. Welcome, Cody.
What's up? How you doing?
Oh, I'm sweaty. I'm still sweaty.
Me too. I have to have my air conditioning off so you don't hear it in the microphone, and it's going to get sweaty.
And we have video on. The listeners cannot see.
I know.
But
I hope they get like a still frame of the beginning and at the end, and they can see the progression of sweat.
Should we do like a before and after? Here, smile.
No.
I'm going to take a pic.
Oh, no. Hey.
I feel like we should be recording this whole Zoom call.
I know. Oh, shoot.
Too much fun. Well, the fun ends here, ladies and gentlemen, because the film that we did today was The Quiet Ones. Oh, my God.
You know, there's always a sign that it's not a good movie or even a bad good movie is when my notes I take are very short.
Very short.
Because there's just nothing to talk about.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for listening. This is the end, and there's nothing to talk about.
Yeah. All right. See y'all later. Thanks for having me. I so appreciate it.
No, we can. All right. Well, we're gonna do the formal stuff. So yes, quiet
well, before,
ones.
If you don't mind, I was told not to do research. I did no research.
Good, good.
But the only thing I did do was I was curious about the ratings of the movie before I saw it. Because I like to do that. So I was like, well, usually horror movies get destroyed on Rotten Tomatoes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I was expecting nothing great there, especially that it wasn't like well-known. I've never heard of it before. Mm-hmm. I like to think that I love horror movies. And I looked it up, and it did get demolished.
Oh, my God.
But I was always like, there's also horror movies that I really liked that have gotten terrible reviews that I still enjoyed. So I was like, all right, I'll go in, you know, with a grain of salt. But then I read some of the reviews, and I was like, whoa. And I read about jump scares, and we can get to that later. But
well, yes, it did get demolished. So just to jump ahead, critic 35%, audience 27%, lower than critic, which on a horror movie, like,
that's rare.
Very rare. Like, you hardly see it. And then Metacritic, oddly, 41. Not that that's a good score, but still higher than the audience on Rotten Tomatoes.
I used to only look at the critic score on Rotten Tomatoes, and now I'm like, now I only look at the audience score, and that blew me away. I was like, it's worse.
Right. Yeah. Well, there's a few things about the formalities of this film that are interesting. So it's directed by and written by John Pogue, written along with Oren Moverman and Craig Rosenberg. They haven't really done too much, no offense. Okay. But the most interesting thing that me and Jake were actually talking about before this, the budget for this movie, they claim that the budget was $200,000.
It just seems too
little. There's no way that was it.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Did all of that go to Jared Harris? Like, was he? Did it, he
is
do
Jared
this?
Harris the special effects guy? Because that would be who it would go to.
That's the thing too. There's CGI in this movie, and I just can't imagine that it's that
and it's
cheap.
Decent. It's decent CGI. And
it looks good.
Everything looks good. I've worked on $100,000 movies, and there's always just something lacking. And it's usually when they go the post. You know, it just doesn't seem right. It just doesn't seem right.
I know, it's odd. But then, you know, it actually, even though we've never heard of it, it grossed $17.8 million at the box office, which is not great, but like, you know, that's not
bad. If that's what they actually spent, then they did a great job.
Yeah.
They're like, we don't give a shit if you didn't like it. We flush with cash.
Pocketed.
So rated PG-13, an hour and 38 minutes, and then the truth claim for this one. So they lean in pretty heavy. All marketing trailers and intro to the film say inspired by actual events. So
All right.
So and that is always the way it's phrased is so loose.
Yes.
So inspired by actual events. I saw the photos in the credits, and if I may give this, this is going to sound rude, but if I may give this movie a nickname, I was going to call it Diet Annabelle, because it's like there's the doll, there's some sort of possession, but it's just like it's not as, I don't know. I wasn't as enthralled. I wasn't as interested. The one thing they had me on, and I think this is a negative thing, is that the jump scares were so frequent at the beginning of the movie that I was constantly worried, not about the plot, but when was I going to get scared next by another loud noise?
Right, right, right.
So there's a part when they're, I forgot what is exactly happening, but they're someone's walking away and something just happened, and there's constant moments where, like, it's going to happen, and it doesn't happen. And I'm not paying attention to the dialogue. I'm not paying attention to what's going on. Just, when's it going to happen? I'm bracing myself.
Well, I did pay attention to the dialogue for the most part and was still pretty confused by, like, the 50 different storylines that were happening.
Totally.
Yeah.
I just felt like it was, like, you said it's Annabelle. I feel like it's the Conjuring universe wrapped into,
yes,
like, one shitty movie.
Yes. Yeah. It's very Conjuring. Yeah, it's very Conjuring.
Yeah, that's fair. For those of you who did not watch the movie and are listening to this, I'll give you a quick synopsis that I've Trishified. I write all of these myself, guys.
Trishified.
I'm a writer.
Like,
no,
that.
Big deal.
Yeah. I like that too.
Yeah. So this movie is basically about an Oxford professor and some of his students are conducting experiments to help a troubled young girl with telekinetic powers to prove that there's nothing supernatural going on and it's just her mind's negative energy. But it turns out he's wrong. It is supernatural and shit gets spooky, satanic, and violent real quick. So, right? That's like kind of...
That's dead on.
Yeah.
That's the movie.
Also, was he or was he not trying to harness her energy in as if it was telekinesis,
yes,
into a vessel?
Yep.
Well,
right? He wanted to harness the telekinetic power?
This is where you lost me, because it's like...
Yeah.
He had there was a little boy that he had done, mm-hmm, this with on before, and then end reveal was like, spoiler, that was his son who he went mad in an asylum. And then, like, the girl, Jane, had a backstory that was revealed.
Yeah.
Also, the professor was, like, very lecherous, and this whole movie was super creepy and inappropriate with, like,
yeah,
this older...
The moment I saw him, I was like, this dude's pervy.
Yeah.
Like, immediately the vibes were there.
And well, he took in this girl, like, and locked her in his attic.
Do we know her age,
yeah,
by the way?
19. It said her age was 19 on the sheet that was in the files that they were looking at.
Oh, thank goodness, because
gotcha.
We do see
but
her
she
boobies.
Did not look 19.
No. She looks like she also looks like Rachel Lee Cook from She's All That.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she's one of those faces where it's like five different, like, YA actors.
Yeah.
Also, I forgot it was PG-13 because they showed a boob.
They do.
They don't
do
that in
boobs.
PG-13.
I know.
For like, half-frame boob.
Yeah, so, like, I was going to say, it's like for a half a frame, like for a split second.
Yeah.
Is that the cutoff, like full nip? It goes,
it's,
it bumps
it's basically,
the tar?
She's in the tub, gets out, boob, gone. Like, it's right.
So Cody definitely paused, went back a couple frames, screenshotted.
No, because I was watching with my fiance, and that would not be appropriate.
Yeah, Jane. Poor Jane. So, like, Professor Copeland, I think that's his name?
Yeah,
right?
Something like that.
I think.
Whatever.
I just think of that band.
Copeland. He's like sleep depriving her, but she's doing it on her,
yes,
own will too, because the idea is that if she stays awake, she can like harness her powers more. But I'm just like, girl, you need to get some rest because,
dude,
you are freaking the fuck out.
And she's okay with it.
That's the weirdest thing. She's just like, yeah, it's fine. Like, we'll keep going. Like, no.
Yeah.
No.
I don't get it.
And then he wrangles two students who are, the girl, Heidi, is like very flirtatious.
Yeah.
Yeah. She starts with a Cruella de Vil cigarette.
And that's her,
he's
like,
got that like 2 foot long cigarette, just, oh yes, I'd like to be a part of the experiment.
Yeah. Like, did anyone notice for like, at least one line she had like a French accent?
Yes.
Okay.
I didn't notice that. No.
I think she was just, you know, just French and flirty.
Yeah.
That was her. That was,
yeah,
her vibes right off the bat. And then, oh God, what is her? Oh no, I'm wrong. Her name was Chrissy. Chrissy is the girl.
It was Chrissy. I'm so bad at names in movies.
Yeah.
Unless it's repeated a ton, I have no shot.
This is why I have to take notes because I can't organize my thoughts. Chrissy's the girl's name. Harry is her boyfriend, even though she's sleeping with the professor.
Yeah.
So,
professor.
Like,
yeah.
Doesn't matter.
And he knows that he's banging, she's banging the professor.
Let's take a second on that one. Because he said that so nonchalantly when he's like, oh, you're in love with him, right? Like as if that's not a big deal. And then he doesn't try to attack the professor. He's just complacent with the fact that she's with the professor too.
This all comes out because Chrissy is mad that the professor is sleeping with Jane, and that's what she thinks. And like, who knows? Experiments or orgies, Professor
If
Copeland.
This sounds confusing to you, all the things we're saying, it's because that's how the movie is.
It makes...
What is the point of all this? What does this have to do with anything?
That is a good, good question.
It's too
Ultimately,
convoluted.
Very, very convoluted for a very simple premise, which essentially is that they're just like trying to prove that ghosts aren't real. But
yeah,
I'm at a loss for words.
Man, it was definitely difficult to interpret as it all went.
Oh, 100%. Oh, we're also forgetting about Brian. Lest we forget about Brian, the little sad cameraman who's in love with Jane. Which, by the way, guys, is this some like weird male sexual fantasy? Like the very sad, troubled girl who isn't sleeping and is...
I plead the fifth.
Trying to murder people.
I plead the fifth. If I've learned anything...
on this podcast. All my notes are just like, this is some like fetish shit
But it also just sounds like that typical like 90s movie. I know it's not in the 90s, but like the shy camera guy talks to the shy girl,
right?
And then they connect.
Totally.
But I had no, by the way, had no idea he had feelings for her until the professor had to be like, you gotta be careful, she knows about your feelings.
Yeah.
And that's gonna be
Me
trouble
too.
For you. And I was like, oh, he has feelings?
Well, he just kept looking at her, but also she's creepy and weird. So it's
And
like
also his job is to look. Yeah. He's a cameraman.
He's like, I'm just getting the shot, dude. I'm not screwing everyone like you are. Relax. I love all the rules that he gives at the beginning before Brian meets Jane, where he's like, do not look her in the eyes. Do not say anything.
And then right away just ignores it all?
Whoa! I forgot that happened, and that was useless. That did not need to be said because no one abided by that.
No, they were all buddies. They were like hanging out at the pond together.
Oh,
they were doing.
Wow. You're right.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a huge flaw.
They basically make her out to be dangerous, and the best part is that like as they're setting all this super convoluted shit up, he's immediately called into like the Oxford Society or whatever, and they're like, we're defunding your project. So then they go and move to this house in the middle of the country that is like, imagine if you had to create a spooky farmhouse with like ripped wallpaper and child drawing on the walls. Like,
yes, like the quintessential don't go here house.
Yeah. Yeah,
they went
yeah.
there. And also they blindfold her on the way. Why? Why is she blindfolded the whole way?
Why is she locked up?
Well, I know.
Like they let her like loose by the pond.
Like, I get it that she's dangerous. I get that they're worried that she's going to destroy everybody. But to blindfold her on the way, if she's willingly a part of the project.
Is it that they don't want her to hurt herself? Like,
maybe. I think the reason why she's locked up in the room is so she won't use her powers to hurt everybody.
Right.
But she's in the car. You're fucked if she decides to destroy you.
But they don't really know at that point she has those kind of powers.
You might be right. They don't know it gets that intense yet.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Because it's through then they do the actual experimentations, which is just basically like hypnosis and seances.
Yeah.
Yeah. They kept injecting her with something before the seances, right? Weren't they?
Right, yeah. That's another thing I didn't catch on.
It was like, I think it was something to sedate her, right?
But
or calm
she was
her or
conscious, I thought. Maybe it was calming. I don't know.
Yeah.
They didn't talk about that. That seemed pretty important.
Can you inject Xanax? Because Mama needs to look into this.
What if that was it? Just get super sleepy and relaxed.
Can we? I'm going to have to rewatch the movie just to see what they're giving her.
Quarantine hacks.
So are we led to believe that? Is it Chrissy? Christy?
Chrissy.
Is Chrissy supposed to be the doctor of them?
I'm assuming med student, but yeah, because she's like checking her pulse after, you know,
you're
after she's
all,
bleeding
God,
from her eyes and shit. Like, okay, yeah. There may be a problem. Yeah, she's like the medical person on the experiments, I guess. What is her boy? Is her boyfriend just there? Is Harry just there for like emotional support? Or
it seems like it, because I thought for a second he had like film abilities. I don't know why. I thought he was like savvy in that. I don't know what his skill is. I think
he's just like he was like writing things on the wall, tracking her like brain waves and stuff like that. Who knows?
He might just be like the boyfriend that's just willing to volunteer as well.
Yeah. Is he the Instagram boyfriend of the 70s?
He's there to be the one that films everything. Yeah.
I'm here for you, babe. And you look great. You look great.
Yeah, well, you're killing it.
Yeah, from the legs up. That's good. Stick your leg out.
We got teleplasma. Have we talked about that?
That's true.
Oh,
so
yes. Is that a real word?
That's when the movie starts to get interesting. Like,
yes,
first
absolutely.
It's just confusing, and then it kind of starts like, there's the weird, so Evie, right? I don't know what she is. Like, you're right. Maybe a doll, maybe a baby, maybe a faux Annabelle. You get that like weird scene where the lights go out and then they lose Jane. And so they go into the world's biggest room ever, by the way. Like, I thought it was a bedroom and they're walking around and they're like, it's a ballroom. And then you find her. And yeah, she picks up like the burnt baby from the carriage.
Are you talking about when it like burns her hands?
Oh, there's that part too. She's always getting burned.
So much burn.
A lot of burning.
Many burn.
Because then that's what's so fucking confusing about it is then it's like Brian, who like wants to bone down on Jane, is finally like, this is enough. This is fucked up. I think that happens after like the professor slaps her or something. So,
oh, wait, no, he fucking slaps her. Yeah.
It's
but
hard.
But that's another side of it. It's like, why are you like cool with being there still?
Yeah, because she can leave, but she doesn't. So then Brian leaves, researches her background, or no, the symbol, the satanic symbol that gets burned into her skin.
You gotta love the classic trope of someone going in town to the library and finding everything you need to know within a day at the library.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you go to one library. And it's the research montage. It's the Rocky of research. And you go in and all of a sudden they have everything on every ancient topic. What library are you going to? I've been to libraries. It's like maybe they have some cool magic books or like limited access to internet, but not that.
He also finds the information about the symbol in a book, but it's related to like a current event from the town.
Yeah.
Which, that's the reveal, one of like multiple reveals, is that the Jane is actually Evie, and she was a child of a satanic cult, and she died. No, the rest of the cult died in a fire, but she was the only survivor.
She survived. So didn't she? So my assumption, and tell me if I'm wrong, was that she burnt them down. She caused the fire.
Yes,
but she survived and changed her name. And didn't she say something like, they changed my name to protect me or something like that?
That's where
okay. The police changed her name.
Okay.
To protect her.
Why?
It was
you murdered all these people? We got you. 60s, don't worry
maybe?
About it.
And then next reveal is that like the little boy that the professor was like, I've done this before, but he went crazy, was his son. And so that's why he's like so hellbent. So technically he's kind of a good guy, I guess, because he's like, I don't want this to happen to Jane, except he's like fucking students and slapping them across the face and torturing them.
And then also his son, he drove his son to the point of into an insane asylum where I believe his son killed himself by banging his head against the wall.
Yeah. Self-inflicted injuries, I think it was. Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
He's not great.
No. Well, then Is my standard for men this slow now that I'm like, but I don't know. Like, he had good intentions.
Tell the boyfriend to say hi.
That was the thing. That was the thing in the movie that was confusing, because you're like, because there's moments where you're like, oh, he's like, we're going to figure this out. It's
we're
all going to work
her.
Out.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, maybe he's okay. Maybe. And then you see him do something super shitty, like, wow, you're terrible. And then he immediately comes back to like rational being. And it's just very, he manipulates the audience a little bit almost.
Yeah. So, you know, the film did that a little bit, so we'll give it.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know the trend of tattooing the inside of your lip came from this movie.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
Is that true? Oh, my God. See, now you have free range, because now you know how gullible I am.
Oh, boy.
Now you can make shit up and be like, no way.
Well, so now we're at this point where all of a sudden couple things. One, Joseph decides to kill
the professor
Jane.
Real quick before the crazy turn, like Jane freaks the fuck out.
Oh,
or
that's
slash
right.
Evie, the entity or whatever. This is before we know that they're the same person or something, right? And then
this
like
huge.
Shit just goes nuts and like Chrissy and Harry get hard
get
ghost murdered. Like,
yeah.
This was my favorite part of the movie,
oh,
by the way.
Oh, 100%.
It got really good. It got good.
Yeah. It was well done. Like, CGI wise, like, there, it was one of those moments where you're like, they're not just dead, they are fucking dead.
Oh, yeah. Like, when you get ghost murdered, you get murdered for real.
Yeah,
like,
you're not coming
yeah.
back from that.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone needs to see that part. It was
especially
really cool.
All the found footage they decided to use during it.
Yeah. It was like half, this entire movie was sort of like half found footage and half
yeah,
not.
Trying. They were
yeah.
trying.
Which was strange. But so that's what leads. Then we get the revelation. And then, Jake, that's when, if you want to.
He kills her.
It. Yeah. He just like, he wants to stop her. He wants to frighten her, right? Mm-hmm. Stop her heart with like a lethal injection and then bring her back to life because he thinks the spirit will leave her or something. But then,
you know what also doesn't make sense is how the professor and Brian being what I'm assuming 21
yeah.
in shape
roughly
yeah
right and you got the professor out of shape
yeah
50
hey,
something
Jared Harris
they have a
can
solid battle because in real life that professor is going down
absolutely yeah. Brian looks great. He's a very attractive male, would have been done.
And then Brian goes
still
and
too
injects,
young for me, but he's a cutie. He's a cutie. Sure.
Yeah. He goes and injects adrenaline into her heart and then goes, it's not working. And then goes and grabs some more. Like he's a doctor.
Yeah.
And he knows what the fuck he's
and
doing.
And he knew exactly which vial it was. Yeah. Like, you know how long it would have taken me to find? Like there was more vials.
And it's not like
Doctor
Pulp
Adrenaline,
Fiction.
Jesus.
Pulp Fiction had not come out yet. He did not know what
yes.
he was doing. This is the yeah. 70s. Yeah, that
oh,
was,
God.
And then, okay, so he brings her back to life after beating the professor to death. Why did the professor decide that he wasn't going to revive her? Or, like, what was the weird?
Yeah, no, I didn't understand that.
He was waiting for the evil energy to come out by itself.
And Brian's like,
yes.
That's not going to happen.
You know what it was? I watched this awesome documentary on South Park a while ago where Matt Stone and Trey Parker were talking about story writing and how great story writing is this happens, therefore this happens, but this happens, then this happens. And this movie is what they said they tried to avoid, which was this happens, and then this happens, and then this happens, and then this is an and-then movie. It really felt like that.
Like, all of our brains are rotting in quarantine. This was too much. Should have done it earlier
yeah.
on. I could not follow the storyline. I was just...
Yeah,
a bunch of nonsense.
A lot to absorb.
Yeah, when Cody said he saw all the images at the credits, I turned off the movie. Like, right when it ended, I was like, done.
No.
Moving on.
Well, we're not even done yet, though, because it still gets fucking weirder. So
oh,
then, like,
no.
Brian eventually somehow revives Jane and is like, it's all cool, baby. Like, let's do this. And then Jane's like, right, that's what she says. That's, or
yeah,
that's the exact
that's
line.
Quote from the movie.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. And then James like, JK, bruh, I'm going to kill myself and light myself on fire.
Yeah.
So then she kills herself. And then we get, like, the next sequence, which is basically Brian
wait,
now
wait,
is
before,
in an
before
insane
before that,
asylum.
She death eaters herself out of there. Like,
oh,
she,
that's true.
She becomes a fire pillar of something of some sort and vanishes in the flames.
Yep.
Like, it looks like the Death Eater Black Cloud, except fire.
Yep.
So she doesn't burn down with all that shit.
The spirit is released or some shit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we guess it's into Brian because then we get that scene where it's like a police interrogation room and they're like, why did you kill all those people? And then he's just like, oh, look what I can do. And like makes fire in his hands, just like what Jane did before. And then end of movie.
You know what I think they were really proud of in that motion, in that part, was like throughout the movie.
Yeah.
So Brian's filmed guy, he didn't have an actual slate. He was slated with his two hands.
Mm.
And so they got to the last part and he looks like he's about to do that same slate, but instead he's conjuring fire between his two hands, and then you're like, whoa, it's in him now. And rolls credits.
Someone got stoked about that.
So that's what they wanted you to feel. I was more like, really?
Yeah.
It's in him now? Jesus.
You want
a sequel, we get it.
No, yeah, right.
Which, like, please don't. I mean, what? It's been 6 years. I think
that's the
are we
equivalent
safe?
Of like Michael Myers movies, like where he's like he's dead, but his eyes open at the end.
Well, that yeah, that was the quiet
I just
one.
I want to point out something, Cody. You know, you have a hell of a life.
right? You lived a hell of
where
experience.
Where is this going?
But more I don't me, know. I have no idea. Me.
But if this entertained you, you need to get a new life.
Well, dude, harsh I'm at the words. Point where I'm just ready to watch anything, man.
Yeah, that's
like,
true. That's fair.
And also, and you can't act like okay horror movies aren't still awesome.
Right, it's right, true. Right, that's right, the right. thing. If yeah. I mean, like, if I'm watching some like fun gore and like silly special effects and like jump scares, I'm having a good time regardless.
Yes.
It's just, you know.
But there was a lot about this that was just not there.
But I mean, man, for $200,000.
Yeah, I mean, what can you do? That's all you got.
Boy, oh boy.
Still don't believe it. Still
yeah,
don't
bullshit.
Believe it.
No fucking
I mean,
way.
Granted, yeah, who knows? It's just the internet, so.
We want yeah. the receipts.
Yeah, show me those receipts. Well, are you guys ready for the fact-checking portion of the
Let's
podcast?
I am ready.
Okay. Jake didn't do research either. I don't know if you, no. if you know this, Cody. So you guys are going to go head-to-head in
what
you
yeah.
think.
Ooh.
We always say we're going to keep track, and we never do.
No, because we don't care.
I am excited about it.
Okay, we're digging in. So I'm going to ask you guys questions. I'm going to start a little broad, and then we'll go deeper into the plot of the film. Question okay. one. You guys ready?
Yes.
Drum roll.
No.
Can you hear that? I bet my mic won't pick that up. Okay. Do you guys think that there was an Oxford professor that set up experiments to prove that the supernatural does not exist?
Yes.
Yeah, yes.
It's actually kind of true, but mostly false.
What?
Wait, so
how
wait,
do you
what,
grade
wait,
that?
Who's right or wrong here?
You both said yes, right?
Yeah, yeah, we did, but like,
we're
how
gonna
do you
give
grade
you,
that?
We're going to give you a half point. You guys both get a half
what
point.
What if we were yes and no?
Then you, it's a tie, because I'm going to say it's
okay.
somewhere okay, in the middle.
So fair. we'll start from zero.
Okay. So wait, what does that mean then? What does that mean?
Well, let me tell you. So the movie is based on the Philip experiment, which took place in 1972, not 1974, like the film says. And it actually took place in Toronto, Ontario, so not at Oxford. It was under the patronage of the Toronto Society for Psychic Research. The experiment was conducted by Dr. Alan Robert George Owen. We're just going to call him Dr. Owen because that's like
so many
names. Yeah. Like what? Dr. Owen was a professor of mathematics at Cambridge. Again, not Oxford. I don't know why they did this. Yeah. But so ultimately, he set out to determine if someone would insist that they could communicate with a fictionalized ghost that he made up. So basically, he wanted to see if like, thinking of a ghost, giving it a background and identity, and telling somebody about it could be enough to make humans believe that they've conjured something into existence and be able to communicate with it. So, like, kind of completely different.
So it's a total social yeah. experiment, just seeing, like, can we make these people have a placebo effect with
right.
the supernatural?
Right. So sort of about proving that the supernatural doesn't exist, but as far as, like, the actual intent of the experiment, completely different. Location yeah. different, year different, like 70s, but just
school
like
school's different.
School different.
I don't understand the year change because what's the point?
Like two years. Yeah,
you put things in Oxford, it sounds a little better than Toronto.
Sure,
okay?
And like British, it's spooky, history, ghosts.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and they get to do the accents,
exactly. Which is always sexy.
Yeah,
sexy. Like, ooh, sorry, there's a ghost. I don't know. Sorry.
Yeah.
Just kidding. We love Canadians. I do love Canadians.
No, me too. Just, sure. But I get it. Like, right. It's not like what you would expect from like a creepy horror movie. Like, they want, well, actually, back in the day, yeah. there was these issues with the ghosts.
So,
like,
Jared Harrod yeah. voice for everything. Wonderful, spooky, love it.
Yeah.
Okay, good job, guys. You're tied. Next question. So, let's talk about Jane. In the movie, Jane is this like troubled student that they use as the center for the experiment. Do you think that in real life, Dr. Owen used a troubled female patient for his study?
I'm gonna say
no. I haven't. This troubled female is the troubled female part, like the troubled part. That's what I'm wondering. That seems like a very specific part. I'm gonna say yes.
Okay, wait, so we're split on this? Yes, no?
We're split,
Okay, point Jake, it is false.
False!
So So yes,
nice.
No troubled youth that he took in or fostered, nothing like that. So
okay.
And it wasn't even one person either. It was instead the experiment consisted of 8 participants.
Makes a lot more sense,
right? Because that's how you do a real experiment.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Dr. Owen's wife, Iris, a former chairperson for Mensa named Margaret Sparrows.
Oh, shit.
I know, so smart people. An industrial designer, Andy H., his wife, Lorna, a heating engineer, AI Peacock. That's that person's name.
No.
Badass.
What does AI stand for? Do we know?
I don't know.
Ariel Indigo Peacock is my name.
Ariel Indigo Peacock. An accountant, Bernice M., and a bookkeeper, Dorothy O'Donnell. And then there was a sociology student, Sydney K. No one even named Jane. I mean, like, yeah, there was one student, so...
Oh,
so
they just completely
made that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Copy.
Totally false.
Okay. Well, this actually kind of sets up the ideal for the rest of the questions.
I know. It's true. Unfortunately, this one might be a little bit different. Well, how about this? Okay. Let's talk about Brian, guys. So, you know, in the movie, we've got a student that he brings in to do all of the filming. Do you think that in real life, Dr. Owen brought in a student from Cambridge to do the filming and the photography?
Does it have to be from Cambridge?
Well, no, but that's just where he taught. So did he bring in a student, I guess?
I'm going to say yeah.
I'm going to say yes as well.
False.
Wow.
What?
Hard false. So
no filming.
They did film and photograph them, but it was his son. So he had a son named Robin who took all the photos and filmed the experiments.
And that he eventually drove into an insane asylum. Yes, of course.
I actually, I can skip to that. Do you guys think that, as far as a motive for these experiments, do you think that Dr. Owen had a son who was maybe tormented by a ghost, and that's why he wanted to set out to believe that, or make people believe that ghosts aren't real?
I'm gonna say no.
I'm gonna say yes.
Point Cody, it's false.
Yeah, we're tied.
Yeah. No secret young son in an asylum. So it's Robert, his son, was totally fine, was never messed up from ghost. All good.
Wow. Me and Cody are in a fantasy football league, and this is the closest we've been to sports for a while. So.
It is.
The heat is on. The competition.
I love it. A little bit of competition.
Yeah, it's healthy. Okay. Well, now we're going to get into some juicy stuff. So let's talk about the entity here. So in the film, you know, the spirit that they're communicating with or trying to get rid of is this Evie, right? It's like creepy doll, young girl. Do you think that the spirit that they made up and tried to communicate with was a young girl, or do you think it was, you know, something with like a creepy doll? Because remember, he's making up a spirit.
Is that a kind of a this or that thing?
No, I guess, like, do you think it's like a young girl?
Okay.
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no as well.
Yeah.
I'm going to say there was multiple different ones.
Yeah. I feel like that's that's been the trend.
Yeah.
So you're right that it's false, but you are wrong that it is multiple.
Really?
And I'm going to make you feel dumb, but don't feel dumb because
here we go.
You shouldn't. So it's called the Philip experiment because the fake ghost that Dr. Owen and his team created was a ghost named Philip.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That makes clever. Sense.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Dr. Owen had so many names. How are you to remember that one of them isn't Philip? But so let me tell you a little bit about Philip because they gave him a very colorful backstory. Philip Aylesford. He was born in 1624. He was a young aristocratic Englishman living around the time of the English military and under the political leader Oliver Cromwell. They gave him a beautiful but domineering wife named Dorothy, and they said that he lived in Diddington Hall, which is an actual estate in Warwickshire, England. He held a position in the court, and then at age 30, he fell in love with a beautiful young raven-haired gypsy named Margot, who became his mistress.
Is this their writing?
This is what Dr. Owen created in order to like put Raven in the subjects' hair. Heads. Yeah. So he's like, this is a real person. This is what he said to them.
They got into this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It gets really good. So then during the same year, Dorothy discovered that her husband was cheating on her and accused Margot wrongly of witchcraft. But everybody was on her side, so Margot was condemned and burned at the stake. And thus, heartbroken, Philip took his own life by jumping off of the battlements at Diddington Hall. So he specifically fabricated a story that contained many elements historically associated with reports of ghosts, a.k.a. secret love affair, heartbroken and vengeful wife, and burning at the stake, tragic death by suicide. It's all in there. And that's like, that's what he told these people.
That's a very descriptive story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, he wanted to, and, like, you got to make it sound real because he has to, like, convince
these
people.
If you want to convince them, yeah.
The whole idea of the experiment was, like, I'm going to tell them this shit's real and we're going to see what happens. So.
And so he was trying to convince them of that and then see if they would believe that the supernatural or demons would possess people? Is
yes.
What you're saying?
So then, now that he's given them the information, and this is a good segue to the next question, then they started, like, holding these experiments to see if the eight subjects could communicate with the spirits. Okay. Or with Philip. So, next question. In the movie, we see that Dr. Copeland uses, like, sleep deprivation, hypnosis, and seances to try to communicate with Evie. Do you think that sleep deprivation, hypnosis, and seances were used to try to communicate with Philip in real life?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, kind of mostly false. It was only seances.
No way.
Yeah. Nothing about sleep deprivation.
See, I was gonna say that. I'm like, maybe not every one of those things, but damn it.
But it sounds like, but like, it just sounds like things that were, like, at least that could have been condoned, like, don't sleep, like, do, like, seances. Like, I feel like, yeah, I feel like they could have gotten away with those, but
yeah.
Damn.
I didn't do any. No, just the seances. So let me get in here. The eight person meetup group, they would meet up for a seance once a week, which is a lot.
It's like book club.
Yeah, exactly. It really is like book club. First, they started in, like, a fully lit room with a circle of chairs where they would all try
wait,
to
wait,
conduct.
Wait, wait, wait.
Yes?
How would it feel to jump into a seance book club and not read the book? Is it awkward?
Oh. They're like, I'm sorry.
Incredibly.
Who is the ghost? What's his name?
Yeah. And then they're trying to, like, pass it off, like, oh, yeah, Terrence was, no, Philip. Oh, my bad. Yeah, yeah. I knew that was it.
And you died how many, like, 5 years ago? Oh, like a long time ago? Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sorry, go
no,
ahead.
No. Jokes are always welcome, Jake. Please insert them. So, they started the seances in fully lit rooms where they would all sit in a circle in chairs. This went on for a year with no results. Some of the members of the group occasionally claimed that they, quote, felt a presence in the room, but that was it. So then Dr. Owen's like, all right, I need to change this up a bit. Let's make it feel more like a traditional seance setting that, like, people would think we would do. So they dimmed the room's lights. They had them sit around a table. They sang songs from Philip's era. They surrounded themselves with pictures of the house that they said Philip lived in and then objects from the time period. And then it actually started to work, oddly enough. So,
how so?
The participants heard tapping on the table, and then they decided to ask Philip questions, and they instructed him to tap once for yes, two for no, and that's actually how they confirmed that his identity was Philip. And he went on to answer multiple questions about his past and personal opinions, and then we'll go on from there.
All right.
But we do, I mean, they do sort of use that in the movie. Like, they do.
That's what I'm saying. They do that. Yeah. They do, like, the knocking. Yep. Yeah, once for yes, two for no. So you're sick. Can I ask a question now?
Yeah.
Or no?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
So are they saying it started to work? Like, it worked, or people were doing things to make it work?
Well, I'll kind of get into the next question, but, like,
okay.
Well, but also, like, it worked in the sense that these people were not making the tapping. This is all filmed, and, like, I can send you guys and we'll post videos and photographs and stuff. Unexplained tapping. They weren't tapping it.
Wow.
Super weird.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. So we'll get more into the results here. So,
okay.
You know, in the movie, obviously, things, like, devolve. Evie gets, like, super fucking violent. There's, like, a satanic tie-in. She's killing people. Do you guys think that in real life, as the results started coming through, things got violent, or there was any sort of, like, satanic things manifesting?
I'm probably going to get this one wrong, but I'm going to say yes.
Wishful thinking?
I'm gonna say no.
Yeah, it is false.
All right.
Ow!
I know.
I have a reason for guessing that.
It would be cool.
At the end of the movie, Brian was like, they thought he killed somebody, mm-hmm. and I was watching the movie like at the end, like, oh, that's probably what ties in. Maybe this guy killed some people, and that's where they tied it in. Like, oh, he justified it by this whole story. So a part of me thought maybe this person murdered people. And that's right. where it came from. But no. now I have learned that is not the case at all.
So, yeah, I mean, like, honestly, hate to say it, but, well, I mean, I guess I don't hate to say it because this is great. But, like, nothing about this was at all violent or, like, hurtful or wow. anything. So, basically, besides tapping to answer questions, Philip would sometimes scratch the table. He was able to move the table on its own, rotated it on two or three legs, once turned it completely on its side, even though this was on carpet. So this is all completely scientifically unexplained because the hands of all the participants remained on the top of the table when this was happening. And you can watch video footage. It's super weird.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What?
The participants also were able to get, you know, Philip's in quotes because he's not real, right? But Philip to dim and restore the room's lights at their request. They said that a fine mist would form above the table on several occasions and that they could even, like, prompt him to make a cool breeze blow across the table, which, God, I wish he would do right now. I am so hot and sweaty.
Same.
It's insane. But yeah, no fire, ectoplasm, satanic symbols. Nobody was harmed or killed. But, like, I mean, honestly, this is still so wild the shit even happened. And they even did it in front of 50 people on a Canadian TV program. And the table moved and tapping was heard and everything. So, like, the, you know, experiment was a success. The only thing was that Dr. Owen was disappointed that nobody claimed they could ever see Philip because I think he really wanted to disprove that any sort of visual apparition is all within the mind too. But, like, I think, you know, you can kind of look at this experiment in three ways. Either he sort of is proving that ghosts aren't real and humans are capable of doing insane things with their minds.
Uh-huh.
Or they contacted right. another spirit that wasn't Philip that was fucking with them. Or, of course, like, they're all paid actors and it's like fake, right? But they did
they did
replicate the experiment a few other times with different ghosts and they got similar results. So it's pretty
really?
Fucking weird. Yeah.
Man, that makes me wonder because, like, my first thought is a Ouija board. You know, like when you have your hands on it and
super similar.
Yep. Moving it. And I've done it before, like when I was a kid. And, like, are you actually moving? Because I remember claiming, I mean, I didn't ever think to move it. But it sounds similar, like it. But what if you can accidentally knock on something just by thinking about it? Like, that's what I want to know. Like, how was that noise created? And I wonder if you can go back and look at that footage
and try to figure it out. I mean, yeah,
yes.
They had like a psychologist sort of examine the people that were in the study, and he basically said that, like, he felt that they went into such a childlike state while they were, like, singing songs that they just sort of, like, somehow didn't realize that they were doing it themselves. And yeah, I guess that's
kind of
the explanation, right? Is that you just don't even realize that you're doing it, but you are. But it's like, if you watch that, like, nobody's hands are tapping. Maybe it's a knee.
They're all like this, just hands on the table.
They're all like hands flat on top of the table. But
yeah, there's the whole magnet thing though.
I forgot. There's the whole,
yeah,
the magnet thing in the movie. Yeah. What was that band that had the, like, fucking magnets? Is that ICP or something?
Oh, that's ICP. How do they work?
In like ghost seances and shit.
Miracles.
Miracles. It is. Okay, guys. Last question. Unless you guys have more, but this is my last official question. Photos at the end of the movie, do you guys think that those are actual pictures?
Photos.
Well, okay, Jake, just know that there were photos at the end of the movie in the credits.
No, I need to see them, okay?
Pause. Let me watch it. Do you think
grabbing
that
my iPad.
Okay, he's looking at them. Do you think that those pictures are of the actual people in the experiment?
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
I'm gonna say yes because I haven't. It's loading. Yes.
You think yes? False.
No.
Cody gets it.
Damn it.
They are.
No, we're tied.
They're
it's
actors.
The exact amount of people from the movie, and now that we know how much.
That's true.
Experiments.
Yeah. It's of. Yeah. It's of the
I didn't
small.
See the photos, so it doesn't count.
I got an advantage on that. That's kind of cheap shot.
It's fine. It's fine.
Should have stayed tuned.
Such a good sport.
Let's flip a coin to see who wins.
No, you know what? As the moderator here, because Cody, this is like, you know, this is shows that you need to be a good person and you get rewarded. Cody wins. He was willing.
Wow.
He was willing to give up that winning point.
Me,
I do.
Right?
It's actually. Clarify. It's just because I fucking hate Jake.
I'm just gonna. I'm just gonna let this be held over your head in the next fantasy football season. I just want you to know that.
Fucking shit.
Oh man. I mean, yeah.
That was fun.
Do you guys
I
have
love
any
that
other
there's
questions?
A quiz.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Not that I would know. This one was kind of hard to come up with questions for because, like, the whole thing is basically fucking completely false.
Well, my number one question I was going to ask is about a person that doesn't exist now. I really thought, so if I may say, after my number one thing I wanted to do was watch it and then guess what the real story was.
Okay.
And my guess of the real story was that it was a general idea of this and that there was these group of people that were performing an experiment in a house allocated outside of school grounds, and I do believe in supernatural. I do believe that demons exist and that stuff like that happens. I did not believe in all the things that happened in that movie, but I thought that all those people died and that the camera guy Brian, I thought he killed them.
Ooh, so
and
you, interesting.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought there was gonna be this thing where that guy went to jail, and because the way that ended, I was like, well, there's got to be footage to back up this ending thing where, because they show him, like, you know, in a mental state of just insanity. And so I was like, well, then maybe this person kind of lost their mind in the process of this experiment and just killed everybody. That's where I thought this was going to go.
I mean, it would have been more interesting.
No, yeah. But it's just kind of crazy to think, like, where your brain goes versus what actually happened.
Yeah. I thought it would be more of like an MK Ultra type thing, you know, like maybe they were doing some sort of experiments on people with telekinesis, like, but no, it was very, very light touch into the supernatural. Yeah. But I mean, it is still a super interesting experiment, and
yeah,
the results are kind of wild.
My question is, why wasn't this a short film? let's just get to the end, you know.
No, how much do short films go for usually? Like to produce one? Like, is it around $200,000?
I was going to say it's around $200,000.
Dude, honestly, yeah, some short films are about $200,000.
Is this just like the director's extended cut of a short film that somehow...
My God. Ooh. What if?
Well, on that note, so now that you know the real story, Cody, we like to give a rating 1 through 10 out of 10 for how accurately you think the film depicted the real story. Jake, do you want to go first while Cody thinks?
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 1.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, yeah, I think one. Well, I'll give it a 1.5.
I'm usually confused about this, and I'm always 50-50, but this is a straight up, this is a 1.
So wait, was there even a doll?
No.
There wasn't a doll?
No doll. Mm.
There was no...
They were not in a farmhouse. Wow. It wasn't at Oxford. They never lost funding. It wasn't even a college-funded experiment in the first place.
Yeah.
They basically took one thing about this and turned it into an entire story. So, I was going to be like 3. No, but it's a 1.
Yeah.
It's a 1. It's absolutely a 1.
I might demote my 1.5 to a 1. It's like they read about the Philip experiment, didn't understand what it was, and then like loosely based a movie
totally
about the top concept that they didn't understand.
Oh, yeah. They were, like, super cracked out. They're like, oh, my God, just shut up. Stop talking about that story. I have an idea.
We need a very young-looking girl, and we got to see her titties in a bathtub. Titties in a bathtub.
Well, it's PG-13. Oh, for half a second, dude, all right?
Half a nip. Yeah. We cut the nip off, guys.
My God, fucking ridiculous.
I will say, the director of this movie is a writer. He really did not direct that many things and hasn't since. He's actually, like, signed on to do some stuff, though, so maybe people liked this. Well, clearly they didn't. We know the ratings.
Well, it made what, 17 million?
That's true. Yeah, over 17 mil. Yeah.
That's a decent chunk of money,
it is.
I would say.
From the quotation, $200,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish we could find that out. That just sounds like such bullshit.
I know. I'll do some digging and maybe amend this if I find anything different.
Please.
But how about you guys liking the movie? So the same rating, 1 through 10 out of 10.
A 1.
I wouldn't go. I'm gonna. That's where I give it the 4, the 3 or the 4.
Really?
Yes. Just because I didn't. If I was watching regardless, I would be like, I want to see this through. Like, I don't think it was incredible or great or awesome or good, but You know what I would rate the zero? Here's where I rate zero. The Nun. The Nun is a zero for me.
I haven't seen The Nun, so I'm not sure.
I will say, yes, as somebody who's seen The Nun is worse than this movie.
The Nun is absolutely worse than this movie. Yeah. They're worse at the jump scares. It's seriously the worst horror movie I've ever seen.
And the CGI is real bad, too.
And there's so many bad... I hate so much about that movie. I hate...
They made a Nun 2, right?
I don't think it's out
did
yet.
Did they do a sequel? Oh.
No, maybe they didn't. I don't know.
I believe it, but... That just to know that I can name a movie worse than it. You know what? My official grade's a 2. It's a 2.
I might give it a 2.5.
Because The Nun's a 0 for me.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I love Jared Harris. I saw him in a movie theater once in New York. It was a fabulous moment for me. And I feel like that carried me through this. I was like, hey, JJ, you remember when I stared at you buying popcorn? But like...
Let's go to the bodega, get ourselves a bagel. What's up?
I lived it for 9 years of my adult life. I talk like this now. I'm from California. It's just unnecessarily convoluted and confusing, and they fucked up. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, John.
No.
John Pogue.
There's so much you brought about that movie that I'm legitimately blown away. I thought it was at least on a decent track to understand what it was actually about, and no, whoa, not even close.
Yeah, well, sorry, Cody.
No, I'm honestly liberated.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, this was a hoot and a half. It was much more fun than watching the movie, I think.
agreed.
Cody, thank you so much for doing this. You have a microphone in front of you. Please tell our handful of listeners, a doll's handful of listeners, what are you doing? What do you want to promote?
Oh my goodness. Well, to anyone listening, my name is Cody. I sing in a band called Set It Off, and we can't tour right now, obviously, for obvious reasons. But we have some music out right now if you want to check us out on Spotify. Set It Off Band is our website, but we are currently working on a new album. If you want to tune into my Twitch stream, it's twitch.tv/CodyCarson. And I literally just honestly play horror games. I've been playing Outlast, which is
so
terrifying.
Good.
I also have a thing on there, which is you can redeem sound bites, and one of them's just a jump scare scream. So I'll be playing a game, and out of nowhere, they'll just scare the absolute crap out of me. So it's kind of funny that we're doing this right now when I'm kind of based around horror games. There's a game called Dead by Daylight, which you're either a killer.
Oh, I love that game.
Oh, it's so good.
So good.
So that's what I'm doing on there. So if you want to check it out and hang out, come chill. As soon as quarantine's over, we'll be working on touring dates and new music. So we're releasing it. So
awesome. Yeah. Have you played Until Dawn?
Hey Cody, how often are you?
I just finished it.
Oh, so good. Jake, shut up. We're talking about Until Dawn. Okay, just kidding. Go.
I just want to know how often you get confused with the 1996 film Set It Off.
Oh, I can't count it on 10 hands. They're like, Set It Off. Like the movie, right? And I'm like, it's a little different. But also, I haven't seen it yet. I need to just freaking see the movie. But I feel like I'm like, because everyone can thinks of the movie before they think of us. I'm like, I can't watch it. But I know it's such a good movie.
It's a good one.
Maybe we'll do a special episode where we watch that movie.
I would like that.
Okay, perfect.
I just need to see it.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, thank you. Thank you, listeners. I know there's more than a doll's handful. We actually, you guys are great. There's lots of you. Thanks for listening. Like us on, I don't know, Apple Podcasts or rate. I don't know. What do podcast people say?
I feel like
five fucking stars.
Five stars.
All right.
I'm from California, but I lived in New York. Five stars.
Listen, five fucking stars or forget about it.
just keep listening. We're happy that you listen to us. And
I'm not even going to do a New York accent because I'll sound Italian. It's a thing.
Oh, God. We all need to clearly get off and let you live your lives and keep drinking. So thanks again for listening. And thank you, Cody. Thank you, Jake. Always.
Thanks, Cody.
All right.
Thank you for having
Trish.
Me. This is so much fun.
all right.
Bye.
Bye, guys.